Hallelujah. Tell you, all of our kids are going to do some things for God. Amen. You know, it's important to be sowing into them their purpose. Their purpose, you know, I always tell the story, and, you know, I joke with them a little bit, but try to get the principle across. I remember we were in the warehouse at Olean in the foyer area, and he was standing over by the air conditioner, Caleb was, and someone asked him, what do you want to... What do you want to be when you grow up? And he said, I'll be a Major League Baseball player. I said, no, you don't. I said, you want to be what God wants you to be. Amen. And so I asked him again, what do you want to be when you grow up? He didn't get it the first time. Major League Baseball player. I said, no, you don't. You want to be... See, he doesn't have that revelation yet. You know, it's just his flesh. He wants to do that. It sounds fun. It looks fun. You want to be what God wants you to be. So I asked a third time, what do you want to be when you grow up? He got it. He said, whatever God wants me to be. And we always try to sow that in our kids that, listen, God has a plan for your life, a purpose for your life. Amen. And in that purpose and in that plan is where all the blessings are. And so just be open. Lord, I want your ways. I want your ways. Amen. And that goes for all of us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, are you glad to be here? I know you are. Go with me to Mark chapter 5 to start here. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming out on a Wednesday night. You know, where we're headed is eventually having a Tuesday service every Tuesday in Allegheny, a Wednesday service every day in South. That's where we're headed, praise God. And so the word needs to go out, is what I'm trying to say. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Father, help us tonight. Lord, we're just so thankful and so grateful that you love us so much, that you care about our individual lives. Father, you said that all the hairs on our head are numbered. Lord, if you are interested in knowing how many hairs we have, Father, you're interested in every area of our life, even the little things. And Lord, what a joy and a privilege to know that we're that loved and that cared for. And Father, even when times when it seems like we can't hear your voice or the natural seems loud or things are coming against us, Father, we stand on your word. And you said, I'll never leave us nor forsake us, Father. You said you'd always be there. So, Father, we thank you tonight for your faithfulness. We thank you for your love and your kindness. Father, we might not understand everything all the time, or we can't see all the time behind the scenes how you're working, but, Father, we can trust in your goodness. We can trust in your love, and, Father, we thank you for it. And, Father, tonight will be a demonstration of your love and helping us through this message. So, Lord, we thank you for the words to say. We thank you for the boldness to say it. And Father, I thank you bullseyes will be hit, Father, and we'll grow and we'll go into a new place of glory. And we'll give you the praise for it, Father. It's always because of you. Lord, when you know, the waiter brings out the meal, yeah, you might thank them for being faithful for what they do. But Father, they didn't make the meal, they just served it. And Father, it's not the server of the meal that we exalt, it's the maker of the meal, and that's you. So we always look to you and exalt you tonight, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, last week we looked at, on a Wednesday night, that our job is to pray. Amen. That we saw that in the Word of God, that the plan of God does not get accomplished or go forward without prayer. And we also saw that this church specifically, the churches that I pastor, we have a mandate on us, don't we? That different ministers, we showed the videos up there. I don't know if you go on live stream, if it would show those videos. I'm not sure how that works on the archives. But anyways, we've shown them before. And we showed the videos of different ministers throughout the past few years that have been picking up in their spirit that to call me out to minister to me concerning signs, wonders, and miracles. Well, that's really just the Bible. That's just the New Testament church, what they had operating. That's what God wants us to operate in. He says that my word will be confirmed with the signs following. But we saw that those things don't just automatically happen, that those things don't just automatically come to pass, that we need to be praying for God's plan, that we have to be hungering for God's plan. And if you didn't hear that message, go back on the live stream. I believe it's entitled, Our Job is to Pray. And you'll want to listen to that. And if you haven't been praying, get praying. Amen? Praise God, because we can't get this job done without it. And I mentioned at camp meeting, Pastor Michael's camp meeting, the first ever we ever had, annual, that He had spoke some things in those three nights, in those services, and they changed my life, not only personally, but for the ministry, as far as that revelation of the need for corporate prayer, to be encouraging people to pray, to be showing those videos more, to ever keep the vision before the people, to be hungering and thirsting for it, right? And so he mentioned that, and it really blessed me. But he also said something that the direction we're going to go tonight, and I had sent out that slick text earlier today concerning about coming tonight and finding out how we can be more a part of the plan of God and what God wants us to do. And so I'm excited about this because it is so vital what we're sharing tonight. And without your help, we will fall flat on our face. And that's just the truth. And so one thing that Pastor Michael shared was he shared a vision that he had. Remember, he was going through a season in his life. If you didn't hear, weren't at those meetings, he shared about a different season that he was going through in life, a season of intense tests and trials and tribulations. And just couldn't seem to get through that season. Just, you know, just no matter what he did, standing on the word, praying, it was just a tough season. And he had a vision. Remember, he was going up the vision, and he kept sliding down the mountain. The mountain represented that test and trial. He's trying to get to the top of that test and trial, or to the other side of that. And he had a vision, and in that vision, he saw different books that were there. And he was almost trying to use those books as, you ever seen like when they climb those walls or something, they have those little pegs that you can go and get harnessed up to, maybe in a mall, have them, or an outdoor store, and you can climb that, pay a fee, and you grab those things. Well, those books kind of represented those pegs to be able to grab onto and pull up, and they were books on faith. They were books on healing, books on getting through, overcoming, you know, books like Brother Hagin wrote, Pastor Nancy wrote, that have the Word of God in them, have the revelation in them. And so he was using those, and it represented what he was doing in his life, which was in that test and trial. He was getting as much Word as he could in him through those books, but it wasn't seeming to get him across that finish line of that test. And in that vision, he just kept grabbing those books and sliding down and sliding down and sliding down. Well, he got a revelation through the Word that he can't get through that test or get into what God has for him, because remember, he was going into a new phase of ministry, which is just the will of God, the plan of God. Well, again, religious-minded people will think the plan of God will just happen no matter what. Well, here he is, has a plan from God. He's faithful to that plan. I mean, he's one of the most spiritual individuals that I know who walks the walk and talks the talk. Amen. And he does what he says. He prays, fasts, seeks God, is hungry for the things of the Spirit. He contends for the things of the Spirit. And so here is a plan of God. Here he's doing what he needs to do, and he's not getting across there. And the Lord instructs him to bring it to the people, that the people need to pray for him, or he's not going to get into what God has for him. Which, by the way, him getting into what God has for him is only going to be a blessing to the body of Christ in that local church that he's pastoring. Amen? Hallelujah. And so I'm going to share tonight about what you can do for me as your pastor. We've talked about it before, but we need to stir people up, because this needs to be a daily thing, a consistent thing, a faithful thing. Because if God does have a plan for us, and if that plan is going to be marked by signs, wonders, and miracles, and what is the purpose for signs, wonders, and miracles? It's not just so God can be a show off, to show how powerful he is. The purpose of signs, wonders, and miracles is to confirm the Word, which the Word leads people into being born again, which that is what we're contending for. Lost souls, right? People being born again. We want people to come and flood into this place and hear the Word of God. Well, the signs, wonders, and miracles are going to be the dinner bell that causes people to come. You know, we were on our way to church tonight, going up over Waterboro Hill in Kennedy, and Abby goes, look, look, look. And we looked out there, and all the cows were running to the food. The dinner bell had been sounded, and they came a-running. Well, the healings, the signs, the wonders, the miracles will be the dinner bell. And when people start realizing, wow, this is a place. Allegheny is a place where people can actually come and be healed, be set free, hear from God, and encounter an experience with Him. That's going to cause the masses to come. Well, if that's what's the plan of God, the will of God, and it's been specifically mentioned for us in this church, in this ministry, don't you think that the enemy's going to do everything he can to stop us from that? Just the same way that Pastor Michael, going into his next phase of ministry, is not only going to help me and the other ministers, not only going to help the body of Christ as a whole, it's going to help his individual church and going to help all the family churches. The devil's going to contend that. The devil's going to stand at the door and oppose that. And he couldn't get past that test and trial on his own. Didn't matter how anointed he was. Didn't matter what God's plan was. Didn't matter how much he's building himself up and feeding on the Word and speaking the Word and in faith. It was a test that was too great for himself. And the Lord said the way we're going to get past that is when the people pray. Well, guess what? The people took that seriously, started praying, and he got into that and got past that, not on his own merit. Well, again, in the Word of God, we don't judge things by visions and revelations, by words and by experiences. We judge everything by the Word. So if that's the case, if that's the real thing that happened, we will find precedent for that in the Word of God. And thank you, Lord, we have something to back that up. Amen. Is that true? Well, we're going to look at that in a second. That is absolutely true. That it doesn't matter how anointed, how much of a plan God has for maybe a minister. If the people and the body and the church are not on board, it's all for nothing. It's all for nothing. So, but before we do that, I want to show you, take you for a little walk in the Word. Go to Mark 5:35. Now I'm going to point out three separate references. Before we look at, we're going to look at somebody here by the name of James. We looked at it a little bit last week, so I'm sure most of you know where we're headed. But Mark 5:35, it says, while he yet spake. Now remember, he just got done, the woman with the issue of blood just got healed. And remember, before he ministered to the woman with the issue of blood, a man by the name of Jairus came and said, my daughter's at the point of death at home, will you come heal her? And he said, sure, I'll come. So he's on his way there. The woman with the issue of blood kind of diverts his attention for a minute. He ministers to her. And so he says, while he yet spake, now remember, he just got done saying, daughter, your faith made you whole. He's on his way to Jairus' house. He says, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the master any further? So now time has passed. She actually has died. They said, don't bother. It's over. Well, it didn't matter to Jesus. She had a heartbeat or not. That wasn't going to stop the miracle from happening. Amen. Hallelujah. You have to understand with God, the amount of money that you're in debt and the amount of money that bill, it doesn't move him no matter how low it is or how high it is. It doesn't matter how impossible or how possible it is for a natural cure. It doesn't matter to him. Why? He's a way maker. He makes a way where there is no way. And you have to get that into your heart and into your head, because a lot of times it's the way that you can't see. It's the circumstances that are too big that make you think it can't happen. God does not need a way to make a way. Amen. And he's like, doesn't matter to me that she doesn't have a heartbeat anymore. Big whoop-de-doo for him. Hallelujah. So he decides to keep going and help her. And it says, Jesus, as soon as he heard the word that was spoken, verse 36, said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered, or he allowed, verse 37, look at this. He suffered and allowed no man to follow him except Peter, James, and John. So there's this huge crowd, including his disciples, that are following him. And he's about to go do something magnificent, something miraculous. And what's he do? He says, I want to take three with me. Only ones I'm letting in this room with me are Peter, James, and John. Hallelujah. Why am I pointing that out? Well, I'm trying to magnify or build up a man that was used mightily of God in the Word and show you what happened to him. Go with me to Mark chapter 9. So James, wow, gets to be in the inner circle with Jesus for this great miracle. Well, this isn't the only time Jesus pulled him aside. Mark chapter 9 and verse 2. And after 6 days, Jesus takes with him Peter, James, and John. Again, pulls three out, right? He's focusing on mentoring, on building up, on pouring extra into these three people. Takes Peter, James, and John and leads them up to a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. We call this the Mount of Transfiguration. Now look what they got to experience that the other nine didn't. And his raiment or his clothing became shining, exceeding white as snow. So as no fuller on earth can white them, as the whitest they've ever seen. Wow. And there appeared unto them Elijah with Moses. Wow. I wonder if they were selling tickets, what this would go for on StubHub. You know, StubHub, that's that secondhand ticket. If you can't get a ticket, you know, you can go on StubHub. You can go to any event you want to if you're willing to pay the price. You can. I've looked up Super Bowl tickets just for the fun of it, just to see. I've looked up World Series tickets. I've looked up, like, you know, big events and things just to see. If you want to pay the price on StubHub, what would this have been going for? Jesus transfiguring. This is the kind of stuff I think about. Elijah and Moses are going to be there. I mean, my goodness, if you already had a ticket to that, you could probably be rich the rest of your life selling that one. Amen? Think about what's happening. Elijah and Moses, two of the heaviest hitters in the Old Testament, appear on this mountain, and Peter, James, and John got a front row seat because Jesus picked them to go. And Peter answered, and there appeared to them Elijah with Moses. They were talking with Jesus, and Peter answered and said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here." Yeah, no duh. I love Peter. Peter reminds me of me a lot. Says the dumb things. "Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." So what am I trying to point out here? That Jesus, do you think this caught Jesus off guard? I don't. And in another great event, a big event, what's he do? He says, "I want to just take my three boys with me, Peter, James, and John. They need to learn something. I want to put something extra into them." Now go to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. There is no Mark chapter 14, is there? Mark chapter 14 and verse 30. Let's go to verse 32. It's always fun when you call a verse out that doesn't even exist and you see people looking for it. "And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I pray.'" Now remember what's about to happen. He's about to be taken prisoner and go and encounter the greatest test that he ever had on planet Earth. Right? And be beaten and spit on and lashed and whipped and crucified. He says, "Sit here while I pray." And he took with him Peter, James, and John. Now, think about that. He took them apart to pray specifically with him. That's three major incidents in the Bible. Three major occurrences in the Bible that was a heavy situation, a great situation. And Jesus chose to single out three of his 12, Peter, James, and John. What's that saying? That tells me that there's something special about them, that he's pouring something special into their life, that he sees something in them to go a little bit further. Amen? We don't have the exact reason why the word doesn't tell us, but we know it was for a purpose, that they were mighty, that Jesus spent time sowing into them. So we could say it this way, that Peter, James, and John, now we know by what Peter did and by what John did that they went on to do great and mighty things for God. They were world changers. Well, if Peter's plan was to be a world changer, if the will of God was for John to be a world changer, do you think that the will of God for James, the other one of the three that got singled out and brought to all these special events, got special things sown into by Jesus, do you think it was God's will for James to be a world changer? Absolutely. Absolutely. But go with me, you know where we're going. Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. Big whoop-de-doo that Pastor Nancy and Reverend Joel flies all the way from Colorado, buys a ticket to come to a meeting to deliver a word that he didn't even know if Pastor Nancy was going to call on him. He had no guarantee. Delivers a word that we're going to have miracles. Who cares that Pastor Nancy several times has ministered to me this way? Pastor Michael, Reverend Elaham. It's in the air, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just telling you, it's in the air. Who cares, though? Who cares? There were things for James's life that he was going to do and walk into. And he was with Jesus for 3.5 years. Far more anointed than I am. Had more experience with the Master than I've had. And here we see something in Acts chapter 12 and verse 1. "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church." Well, isn't it interesting that the devil, how many of you know the devil sees what we do? Yeah. The devil's on the outside looking in. He sees who? Peter, James, and John go up under the mountain. Yeah. He sees Peter, James, and John getting pulled aside into the garden. He sees Peter, James, and John get pulled into the room when Jesus is about to undo the sickness that the devil had put on that little girl and killed her with. So who does the devil get? The devil wises up and think, "Hey, there must be something about these three. They got an anointing. They got a plan. They got a purpose in their life." And so what's the Bible say? That Herod vexed to vex certain of the church. Well, Herod is not motivated on his own behalf. Why? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. What does Satan do? He influences people to come against us. Amen? Well, there's no doubt Herod is influenced by the devil here. And so who does he go after? Not the whole church. He goes after specifically certain of the church. Well, who does he go after? Bible says he killed James. That means he went after James. Who's James? Only one of the big three. Only one of the ones that were pulled aside. They got special things sown in their life. Only ones that we know by just inferring. If John had a great plan, Jesus sowed into him, so that would happen. And Peter had a great plan and fulfilled that. James had the same outcome in front of him. What was out in front for James that was ruined when Herod, through the enemy, killed James with the sword? Now, think about it. All that time that Jesus poured into him, all that time that people on the outside would have been like, wow, there's James. Remember when Jesus took just James and he came back and James told us what he got to see on the mountain? Remember when James talked about how Jesus raised that little girl from the dead and he got to see that with his own eyes? And the times that Jesus took him apart, there's other times, took him apart to pray with him, with Jesus, and the things that got imparted into him, right? And people would see that and think that, and you would naturally think in the natural, wow, he's anointed. Wow, God really wants to use him. And that would be true. And you see videos and we have people that we respect greatly on there that are picking things up and calling your pastor out in a room with 200-300 people, not ministering to anybody else in that fashion, in that way, and it's happening time and time again. And naturally, you could say, wow, the anointing on his life. Couldn't you? Wow, God's got great things for him in his ministry. Miracles, known as Miracle Mike. Miracle man, Pastor Nancy said, that's how you'll be known. That's what she said. That's what Reverend Joel said. Reverend Love said, give him many miracles. Well, that's what we're contending for. That's what we're believing for. And you'd get tempted to think, he's the pastor. He's out in front. He's got this. He's going to do it. We're in good hands. Well, I'm sure that's what people felt about how much more for James is what I'm trying to say. How much more for the one that was with Jesus. And so the Bible goes on to say, in verse 3, and because he sought please the Jews, he proceeded further to take, who'd he take? Peter. Peter. Why? The devil senses something. Ooh, there were some great things with James. We took him out. I sense there's some great things with Peter. There must be some great things with Peter. Why'd Jesus take him aside all the time? Why'd Jesus pour into him all the time? Let's go after Peter now. And guess what? If he would have got Peter, guess who he would have went after next? John. Absolutely. Vexed certain of the church. So he goes to take Peter. Now, I know I've preached on this before, but until you start doing this consistently and faithfully, I'll keep preaching it and preaching it and preaching it, because people let this go and they let this slide. Amen. I'll guarantee I already, you know, after last Wednesday's message, I'm not saying this to be mean or to cast some doubt over the church. I'll guarantee that when I said, if you haven't been praying, start praying, that people said, my goodness, I didn't do anything different from last Wednesday. And I bet some of you did, but I bet there's bitter people in here that say, I didn't do anything. I can't stress this enough. We will not see it on his wishes alone, on my faithfulness and wishes alone. How do we know? Well, the place that I go to the most about that is when Jesus stood up in Luke chapter 4 in the synagogue and found the place that was written about him in the book of Isaiah. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to what? Heal the brokenhearted, to make the sick people well, to deliver the captives, to set them that are bruised at liberty. He's got these mighty things that are on his resume, and we see that resume played out in different areas, except for when he went to Nazareth in Mark chapter 6, and the Bible says there he could, not that he would, he could do no mighty work. And the Bible tells us why. And he marveled because it was the people's fault. I can't stress it enough. When we talk about praying the plan of God, and you listen to last week's message, we went through all those scriptures that show that without prayer, things don't get done. If you don't start doing this, we will stand before Jesus someday. I wanted to do something, but you didn't get on board. Well, does God want to move? When I say the church down the street, I don't literally mean the church, the Methodist church down the street. I just mean other churches. But does God want to do mighty miracles In his body and in all the churches? Absolutely. Is God doing all his miracles and signs and wonders? They wouldn't happen in the church I grew up in. They didn't know anything about it. What happened in the church she grew up in? They didn't know anything about it. And it wasn't happening. Well, God wanted to do it, but the people have to be on board. And so they go to take Peter. And I would think that it would be a wake-up call for the church to lose James. Right? I mean, that would have went on Facebook and Twitter and got through. I mean, people have been texting. Did you hear? Hallelujah, it's true. Amen. And it woke them up. Let's not have to take action by a wake-up call. Amen? Reverend Greer, one night, Reverend Greer was a spiritual son of Brother Hagin. I was at the dinner table with him after service. And he said, unfortunately, Pastor Mike, some people won't get on their knees until they're forced on their knees. What's that mean? Life has gotten so bad, life has taken such a turn for the worse, that God is their only way out. Let's not wait to fall on our knees and summon the God of this universe until we get a wake-up call, because that's what happened to the church. And when they had apprehended him, verse 4, they put him in prison, delivered him to 4 quarters of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer. Now, let me ask you. Do you think that Peter was probably praying his little butt off in prison? I bet he was. I bet he's going back to everything Jesus ever told him and praying earnestly and releasing his faith, right? And casting devils out. He's doing it all. But the Bible, and guess what? I'll bet you James was praying his little butt off in church as well, or the prison as well. Didn't work for James. And it doesn't say Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made by this mighty man of God. And it delivered. No. Ladies and gentlemen, we're exalting your role and your status in the body of Christ. The minute we think it's a one-man show is the minute we're deceived and duped. Amen. It's the truth. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing. What's that mean? They were faithful. They were consistent to do it. Of the church of God, of the church unto God for him. What does that mean? The body of Christ. The ones that don't have REV period in front of their names. The ones that don't have a pulpit ministry. The ones that don't have a TV ministry. The ones that don't have a traveling ministry. The ones that get up every day and go to work and provide for their families. Those people prayed and made power. Remember what the Bible said about Elijah in James chapter 5? That Elijah was just a man. He's just a man. Right? Yes, he's anointed and he does great things, but God was pointing out in that verse that it wasn't about Elijah's anointing, it was about the power of prayer. And the Bible says that every day women and men and children of God that were not ministers, that were not having videos of them getting ministered, that they're going to have a miracle ministry, were faithful to pray and saved his rear end. The people did. Amen. And Pastor Michael, I love the humility in him. That he's doing everything he knows to do, and he's faithful, and he's spiritual, and he can't get by. He's reading, he's meditating, he's confessing. And the Lord said, until the people pray for you. Why? More power made available. And he actually went before his church and said, I need you to be praying for me. Well, if your pastor says that, it's not just to say something. Amen. And it worked. And so the Bible says they prayed, and when Herod, verse 6, would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers bound with 2 chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. He smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. Well, what happened? He was delivered. And what happened in his deliverance? He was able to then go forth and fulfill the plan of God. God had a plan out in front of James. It was thwarted and it was made void. Why? The people didn't pray. Dr. Dufresne said this one time, and I'll never forget it. He said, some ministers on their gravestones should say, killed by the church. You could say that about James's. Couldn't you? I mean, the Bible doesn't come out and accuse the body of Christ, but it tells you the very one thing that saved Peter that wasn't offered up for James. I don't think people realize your role in all of this. It's so easy to get narrow-minded when you see your pastor, but see your pastor's connected to your life. Amen. Amen. That's not a... I'm pointing there, I'm pointing up, like, reference those videos. That's not a singling out and a raising up of, wow, he's so wonderful and so great. No, it's to tell us what's in front of us, what God wants to do for us, and what we need to be believing and contending for. So let me ask you, if James had a great plan and Peter had a great plan and we saw Peter's come to pass, James didn't get to, and it was going to be filled with lives being changed, and if there's a mandate and ministers are picking up miracles, what are miracles going to do? Change lives. Right. Signs and wonders are going to bring in the harvest. Don't you think that if I'm the one that's being ministered to, that's going to flow through, that the devil's going to say, huh, don't want that to happen in Cattaraugus County. Don't want that to happen in Chautauqua County. Let's go after him. And now I'll just say this. The one video that I didn't show you was at the Holy Ghost meetings when Pastor Michael called me out and he said to me, and the hordes of hell have come against you. In that one video, Pastor Nancy said this, that there were some things up ahead that frighten the devil. And she said, so he struck with frantic movement. Why? To try to hinder these things, to stop these things. And she said, and you're getting ready to get into what God has called you for. Well, if you think the devil's just going to lay down and say, well, it's on the video, can't stop it. What can I do to James? He's the one with Jesus. No sense of going after him. No. Devil's persistent. Ladies and gentlemen, I need you to be praying for the plan of God, but I'm telling you, I need you to be specifically praying for me. Amen? Amen? And I hope that when you hear me say that, that's a sign not of arrogance, but a sign of humility. I'm not anointed enough to do this without you. Amen? Amen. Praise God. It's the truth. And so let's go. I'm going to go through this. We won't spend a lot of time on it because we don't need to. But I'm going to show you four ways that you can pray for me every single day. It doesn't take long. And then a fifth way that you can pray that's not specifically spelled out in the Word. But I want to show you four ways. Are you ready to look in the Word? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Ephesians 6 and verse 18. Now, do I have an anointing? Sure, we all do. And ministers have different levels, but I'm just going to here tell you, I'm going to break this to you. I'm sorry to disappoint you. I'm sorry to shock you. But I am not as anointed as the Apostle Paul. Pastor Mike, that's a shock to us. I'm sorry to shock you and let you down. Of course, I'm being very sarcastic right now. I'm not as anointed as Apostle Paul. How many of you know he was anointed? Visions, revelations, used by God mightily. And look what he says in verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints, and for me. So what's the subject? Prayer. Paul says, and for me specifically. He's saying, I, the Apostle Paul, the anointed one who has visions and revelations, signs, wonders, and miracles, who have been caught up to the third heaven. He said, I've seen Jesus. Jesus schooled him personally. He said, I need you to pray for me. Pray what? What's he saying? If you don't pray, it won't happen. Number one thing that you can pray for your pastor is that, like Paul said, pray that utterance would be given to him. What does that look like? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would give Pastor Mike utterance to speak your word. Now, what is utterance? Now, utterance, I don't need help coming up here and opening my mouth and talking. I know how to do that. But you don't want me coming up here, opening my mouth and talking from my mind, talking from my feelings, talking from my thoughts. Why? I can come up here, open mouth, and say things. When he's saying utterance, he's not saying, pray for me. And when I get in front of people, my mouth just stays closed and I can't say anything. No, he's saying, I don't want to just say any old thing. I want to say what God is saying. Amen. Now see, when the minister gets what God is saying, from heaven and declares it to the people, how many of you know those words lead to turnaround? Those words lead to increase. Those words lead to change. Or you can say it this way, they're precious. Amen? They're a gift from God. And when we cry out for utterance, for God to give us something, we learned last week, it doesn't matter that God wants to do something. He wants laborers to go forth to bring in the harvest, but he said, you got to pray for him, right? Because God can't do anything on planet Earth until someone asks him. So we need our pastor, you need me, to not speak from my own education, to not speak from what I think is happening or what I think needs to be said. You need me to hear from heaven and speak heaven words to you. That's where the change is going to come. How many times have I had people after a service say, Pastor, have you been listening into my conversations? Have you been in my home? And that's why we say to you, you know, Lord, let's hit the bullseye. And I'll say to people before service to get their anticipation up. You're going to sit there and you're going to think, how in the world did Pastor Mike know to say that? And what do I always say? The answer is, I didn't know to say it, but it came up in my heart and I spoke it forth. And it's as if I was listening into your conversations, as I was behind closed doors, right? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, what is that called? That's utterance from heaven. And when we cry out for utterance from heaven, we're showing God what? They that hunger and thirst will be filled. Father, we need utterance. We ask for utterance. What's that do? That unties God's hands to give me utterance. That's why Paul's asking to pray for it. Is it God's will that Paul have utterance? Yes. Does Paul pray for utterance? Yes. But apparently it wasn't enough. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you'd give Pastor Mike utterance to speak your word. Praise God. Now, that's number one. Number two is right there, found in verse 19. May be given utterance to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. What's the second thing you pray? Remember what the apostles prayed? Lord, grant unto your servants that with all boldness they'll speak your word. Well, why? Think about it. At times, they were speaking, and Paul goes on to talk about, actually, if you go on to the next verse, he says, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. What's he in prison? That I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. What's he saying? There's a temptation for me to not declare things that could get me into further trouble. That could mean for my natural life a decrease naturally. Well, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. There is a temptation. You know why seeker-sensitive churches are popping up? Reverend Joel, who travels the country, says the family churches don't realize how good they have it, how sheltered they are with the Word of God. He says, I've been in, you know, some doozy places. And he said in Colorado, when they moved to Colorado, a church popped up, and within 2 weeks, a brand new church had over 200 people in it. So he says, I got to check this out. What's going on? He went there. He said, you never heard about tithing. You never heard about the Holy Ghost. You never heard about sin. Never talked about money. Holiness was not an issue. Well, why is that? Now, how many of you know? Teaching on tithing helps people. Teaching on sin helps people. Teaching on the baptism of the Holy Ghost helps people. We had another person, Cheryl Mays, filled with the Holy Ghost after service on. That's 10 people now within a couple weeks filled with the Holy Ghost. That is going to change their lives. If they'll go forward with it and pray in tongues, it'll change their world. Now, I'm here to tell you, I'm just going to say it flat out right now. I don't know how many times I'll have people years down the road. They were filled in a service, they spoke in tongues, and they'll say to me, I haven't done this in years. And it wasn't to get filled for one time, it was to live a life of filling. That's why I'm saying, so if you did get filled or you just didn't understand that message, you can't leave it at the not understanding place. There's stuff for you to walk into that God has for you that you will not see and experience without that supernatural help. Amen. Praise his name forevermore. He's faithful, isn't he? He's faithful, glory to God. Hallelujah. What was the story I was telling before that? Where was I going? Huh? Seeker sensitive, thank you. The reason they're popping up is because people are going and getting their conscience eased by going to church and just told a bunch of fluff, getting pet in the service, itching ears tickling, right? And they're popping up all over the place because it's not easy to the flesh and the mind when you're living in sin to hear the preacher preach about it. It's not easy when you're not a tither and you're stingy with your money to hear the preacher share what the Word says about finances. When you grew up in a church that is religious and doesn't teach you things like the Holy Spirit, and you start hearing tongues and people preaching on tongues, or you see hands being laid on people, and that's weird to them, that does something to your flesh. And when the flesh is uncomfortable and the mind is uncomfortable, that flight instinct takes in and they want to run from that. So the preachers now stay away from the very things that are going to change people's lives, but will say things. Why? Because it will keep their seats filled. And for some reason, on this side of the pulpit, it makes preachers feel better when there's not three straight empty rows of seats. Well, I don't give a rip. I don't give a rip. Amen? But it bothers some of them. And it's a temptation. And I'll just say it this way. There's times things have come up in my heart. Well, I remember this. It was in the old storefront across the parking lot. It was a Wednesday night service. And a word of knowledge came into my heart concerning somebody's past. And I had never talked to him about it. I mean specific about how they were mistreated and things that went on in their life. And I was to minister to them about going forward. And I walked right back down the aisle. I remember it was on the left side. And I started ministering to a lady. I said, the Lord just showed me about your past. And I started saying stuff and the tears just started flowing. Well, when he first gave that to me, I was, first of all, timid to step out in that. But then to share what I was going to share, I knew I needed to share it. Because it would have been to share it that way was such a supernatural moment for that lady that it changed her forever. And the Word talks about that with the gifts of the Spirit, that when the secrets of men's hearts are revealed, you know, they'll fall on their face and worship God and say, God is real. Amen? But there was a temptation to want to hold that back, not speak that out. God gave me utterance. But then there needs to be a boldness to carry that utterance out. And if we're going to be a church that's not going to tiptoe in the tulips around the Word of God and walk on eggshells and, you know, people that aren't tithing, not doing the Word, they need to know you're doing it wrong. Well, that's not easy as a pastor sometimes to say that stuff, naturally, in my flesh and my mind. Or, you know, telling people, you know, Paul said this to Timothy. He said, your job is to show people in which way their lives are wrong. Well, I'm not naturally a confrontational person. I don't like confrontation. I like to just call it my own little bubble. But my job at times is to literally tell people, you are wrong. That's not easy to do. But just like me being on the other side of it, when my pastor's telling me, you're wrong, thank God he had the utterance, thank God he had the boldness, because I heard what I needed to do, I made the adjustment, and I changed. And I reaped from it. Amen. Hallelujah. And you need me to be the same way. You need me to stand up here and say what needs to be said. Or in a meeting, if you tell me something. You know, I always bring up Jake, you know, and talk about Jake. How many times, right? I remember a meeting at the Beef and Barrel one time. Jake came in with this grand revelation that he had. Right, Jake? You're blessed now, though, aren't you? And I sat there and listened. I thought, oh, that ain't the Bible. That ain't the Word. This was years ago, by the way. And I said to him, I said, you know, the temptation is just smooth it over. I looked at him and said, that's not in the Bible. That's wrong. Your thinking's wrong. And at first, it's not fun to hear that. It's not fun to say that. But guess what it did? Changed him and helped him. I mean, I've been on those meetings. That's why I don't mind correcting people as much anymore, because I remember, man, I've been on that side a lot of times. Yeah. Amen. So you need me to be bold. But guess what? Paul said, if you don't pray for boldness, well, you think, what does that have to do with it? Well, we know that prayer makes power. There might be a power needed available for a pastor to be bold, to say what needs to be said, to share what needs to be shared, praise God. So number one, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. I ask you to give Pastor Mike utterance. And Lord, that utterance that you give him, I pray that he would have boldness to speak it out. That doesn't take very long to pray, people. But Paul pointed out, pray this for me. Now go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. Now again, this is Paul writing to a whole church. He says, finally, brethren, pray for us. Well, what in the world would a man like the Apostle Paul need people who aren't even ministers praying for him? Same reason James did. Without those prayers, bad things happen. things don't get accomplished, things don't get done. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord... Now, see everything always centers around the word, how this has a natural progression. He says, first we need the utterance. That gives you the ability to open your mouth and say what needs to be said. But, or I should say, gives you the utterance, gives the minister what needs to be said. But then the boldness paves a way for it to be actually spoken out. And now once it's spoken out, it says, pray that the word, what? The word that gets spoken out would have free course. It's not enough just to get the revelation. It's not enough to just speak out the revelation. But once the revelation and the word is out there, then it can't hit a wall. Pray that the word that I preach and speak would have free course. What's that mean? If it needs to go here, it goes here. If it needs to go here, it goes here. Wherever it needs to go within the people, whatever it needs to accomplish, it's free to do so. So you pray for the utterance, pray for the boldness to speak out the utterance, but then when it's spoken out, that it's freely moving in there. And then it says, and be glorified. So there's two and three, but just pray. Father, I pray that when Pastor Mike opens his mouth and speaks the word, that the word would have free course and be glorified. What does that mean, glorified? It means that the word is important to the people, that the word has a spotlight on it, that the word is valued, that we're not the swine church. What's that mean? Casting our pearls before swine. There are some people in the body of Christ that don't want to hear the true message of the Bible. It's the truth. And you pray that it has free course and not come up against a wall. What would be a wall? Well, someone coming into the church that their whole life, they've been taught tongues is wrong. They've been taught the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That was just for the early church. And so then what happens is the boldness is there, the utterance is there, the boldness is there, spoken forward, and then it goes out and bam, doesn't have free course in that person's life. Well, according to this, we're told that maybe a lot of times that would happen would be because the people weren't praying for it. Amen. So, Father, I pray that the Word of God would have free course and be glorified. So you see the natural progression, and it goes even further now. Because we have a fourth thing in these verses that Paul tells us about. And if you think about what he's telling you to pray for, I've never preached it this way, I've never heard it this way, I've never seen the natural progression. Pray for the utterance, you get it. Pray for the boldness, you speak it out. When it's out there, it needs to then be able to go where it needs to go, free course. And so when it's out there, guess what? When it's finally out there, that's the magic potion that gives people the opportunity for change to come in their life. So then he says in verse 2, and that we would be delivered. Well, why? Because if you get in the utterance and you're having boldness to speak it and you're saying it out there and lives are being changed, it's going to take the devil off. And he's going to try to stop it. So what's he going to do? He's going to raise people up to come against the work, come against the people, come against the minister. And that we may be delivered, So Paul knew, he said, man, you know, I remember what happened to James. James, on his own behalf, could not be delivered. He was in the inner three with Jesus. No doubt he knew faith. No doubt he knew how to pray. But he did not have enough whatever to get past a wicked and unreasonable man. And Paul said, I took note of this, so I'm asking the people in the church at Thessalonica there, pray for me that I would be delivered from unreasonable wicked people, because if James couldn't do it on his own, Paul said, I can't do it on my own, and Pastor Mike's here tonight telling you, I can't do it on my own. So let me just go through this real quick. Father, I pray that you give Pastor Mike utterance, and that you'd give him the boldness to speak that. And Father, when he speaks your word, I pray that your word would be glorified and have free course. If we all pray that, we're praying the will of God, we're making power available. And Father, I pray that you would deliver Pastor Mike from unreasonable and wicked people that would come against him. Amen? Amen. For all men have not faith. It's not enough for... Listen, you know what I'm confessing every day? Father, I thank you that I am delivered from unreasonable wicked people. Father, I thank you no weapon formed against me will prosper, and every tongue that rises against me in judgment will be condemned. Father, I thank you I have favor with believers and unbelievers. That's what I pray every day. I do. I confess these things, and I don't, no doubt Paul's confessing, James confessing, but without the people. Do you see how important you are in all this? That's why I love when the lady from Allegheny, after I had preached about the importance of prayer, she had texted me and she said, Pastor Mike, thank you for bringing us into the ground floor of this and showing us our part, because If you just think you're just a nobody and you just think, well, he's the pastor and he's the one getting the videos. No, you don't understand. You're a part of something vital and your role is so big in all this. It's so big in all this. Praise God. And then last but not least, so pray those four things, and then after you pray those things, now on that prayer card, I'm going to have these things, and I'm going to also have what we can pray generally for the plan of God, but at the end of that prayer card, I'm going to tell you, pray in tongues for me. Why? Because there are things that you don't know, things that might be going through, things that I need help with. And the Bible, go with me real quick to James chapter 5. James chapter 5 and verse 16, I believe it is. I believe you're going to do this. If you love me, you will. I'll just say that again. If you love your pastor, you'll pray this. You'll pray for him. James 5:16 says, confess your faults to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, or the Amplified says, makes tremendous power available. The effective fervent prayer. The most effective way you can pray is praying the Word, which is the will of God. Well, I just gave you four different things in the Word that you can pray. See, if you're praying those things, yeah, let me say this. This is utterance right now that will help you. Those prayers in Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 3 that Paul prays for the church at Ephesus, if you go and look at those prayers, Brother Hagin talked about praying those prayers for his congregation and how and praying them for himself and how his eyes were open to the Word and people experienced growth and change. There are people in your lives that are born again that maybe don't see things the way you do. Maybe they don't have a revelation of needing a pastor. Maybe they don't have a revelation of they're Christians, but they're sick in their body, but they've been taught against healing. Well, if you look at those prayers in Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 3, what's Paul praying? That the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. That you would know the hope of his calling. And what is the riches of his glory, of this inheritance of the saints. And that they would know the exceeding greatness. See, if you don't know some things, the Bible says ignorance doesn't get you very far. The exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the work of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, right? Far above all principalities, power, might, dominion, every name is named, and his this age and that which has come. And then he says in Ephesians chapter 3, and Father, I pray that that you would grant unto them, according to the riches of your glory, that they would be strengthened with might by your Spirit in their inner man. That Christ would dwell in their heart by faith, that they would be rooted and grounded in love. Now get this, that they would comprehend, that means understand, that means if you don't pray it, they won't understand. Comprehend with all the saints, the width, the length, the height, and the depth, that they would know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge. Now get the rest of this prayer, here it is. And be filled with all the fullness of you. Amen. Now, Paul's praying that for people. That means if you take away those prayers, you take away those benefits of those prayers. What's he saying? If I don't pray this for the Ephesian people, they won't get it. So, in taking a little side journey, those people in your life that just aren't getting it, not getting the revelation. Maybe they're in a dead church, but they're stuck there. They're Christians. They're born again. They're heaven bound. But something's keeping them there. That dead church isn't helping them. Not getting filled with the Holy Ghost is not helping them. Not being in a place that teaches signs, wonders, and miracles is not helping them. But the Bible says the devil likes to blind. But if you'll pray those Ephesian prayers and put their name in it, or even pray it for yourself and say, or Paul say, I pray that your, he says your, just include your name or put that person's name in there. And open the Bible right up and pray it out until you memorize it. Like, I've prayed it so many times, I don't need to look at it anymore. But I'll insert the church in there. I'll insert certain people. I'll pray it for myself at times. Amen. I just helped you greatly. But what I'm saying is those are Word of God prayers. That means the Word is praying the will. Why is that important? Remember God said the Holy Ghost said through John in 1 John 5 that if you pray according to the will of God, he hears you. And if we know he hears us, we know we have to pray the will of God. So many people pray, if it be thy will, that's just a big fat doubt in prayer. Why don't you know his will? Why don't you find out? And when we don't know his will, what's the Bible say in Romans chapter 8 verse 26? When we have a weakness and we don't know what we ought to pray for as we ought, the Holy Ghost makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be understood. And we know that we pray out the perfect will of God with the intercession of the Holy Ghost. So when you get done praying those prayers for me, those four things, you say, okay, Father, that's the best I know how to pray in English for my pastor. That's what my pastor told me to do. But Father, I know we can go even further and deeper. And I don't know everything he needs. I don't know everything he's facing, everything that's up up ahead or what the church needs are going through. But Holy Ghost, I ask you as my helper, help me now to pray for Pastor Mike. I thank you when I open my mouth and pray in tongues, you'll give me intercession according to God's perfect will for his life. And then pray for me 5-10 minutes a day in tongues. I mean, come on, people. I need you to do this. Amen? Because it takes you maybe a minute, 30 seconds to a minute to pray those four things. And then just set a timer. Say, I'm going to do nothing but pray for... What if everyone in the church said 10 minutes a day? 10 minutes a day at least, I'm going to pray specifically for my pastor. Oh, man, I would beg you to do it. Amen. Beg you to do it, praise God. Why? It makes power available. Praying in the Holy Ghost prays out mysteries, prays out things you don't know. Remember I told you about the farmer that was on the tractor that called me, said, Pastor, I've had it on my heart all day. I finally get a hold of you. I had it on my heart that the Lord said, I need to pray for you and pray for you now. What do you need? I don't know. Things seem good. I'm not sure. Seriously, I don't know. I don't know. So then I was able to school him. You know, when I say school, it sounds harsh, but just, brother, the next time that happens, because it could be a future thing that maybe needs to be averted, something that's going to change some things, or something that I'm not aware of right now, or I don't know, whatever. I said, when you don't know, that's what the Holy Ghost is for. He said he helps our infirmities in 8:26. What's our infirmities? Sometimes we don't know. And he didn't make any ground by calling me. He just found out even further. I just don't know. What do you do in that time? Lord, this person's on my heart. Pastor Mike, I pray in the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, help me. And you take off praying in tongues, you are hitting bullseyes. I mean, the Holy Ghost is a spiritual sniper. That's what's so wonderful about praying in tongues. It hits the bullseye every single time. Now, thank God there's some things in the Word we can pray, but we can take it deeper by praying in tongues. Amen? Well, were you blessed tonight? Hallelujah. Well, what we're going to do here tonight is I'm going to go ahead and pray. I'm going to give a salvation call. I know nobody in here needs that right now, but there might be someone online or listening in the future. We want to tell you how to receive Jesus. And then after, we're just going to spend, can you all give 5 minutes of your time of corporate prayer where we just pray out the plan of God and pray in tongues? Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you so much for everything we received tonight. Lord, I know that this message tonight is vital if we're going to move into and walk into everything. Lord, it's already been prophesied and shown to the people that the devil has been after me, after the plan of God. He's come against me in some things, and he's trying to hinder some things. Lord, we need people's help to pray. Father, I pray that they would realize that they would have a revelation of their part in all this. And Father, I pray that they would be faithful to do this, not just walk out of here full of fire tonight, do it tonight and tomorrow, but Father, they would consistently make this a priority, just like they make sleep a priority, brushing their teeth a priority, eating a priority, going to work a priority, that they would see the plan of God for it to go forth needs to be prayed for. The pastor needs to be prayed for. So I thank you, Father, that people will do this. And I thank you, Lord, we will walk into everything you have for us. This is not about me. This is not about the man. This is about the plan of God and your will, Father. And we cooperate with it in Jesus' name. Now, if you're listening online, I know everybody in here, as far as I know, is born again. If you're not, you can receive Jesus. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you want to go to heaven, say, I want to go to heaven someday. Well, there's two qualifications to get into heaven. You must believe in Jesus. John 3:16 tells you that. And you must ask the Lord to come into your heart. Romans 10:13 says to call on his name to be saved. And so there's two things that you have to do. You can say, yeah, I want to go to heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven. If they don't, it's just because they don't know about heaven. Heaven is the greatest place there ever is. No sickness, no disease, no sadness, no tears, no depression, no anxiety, no poverty. It's heaven. It's what it is. It's heaven. And so if you want to go to heaven, there's two ways to get there. Number one, you must believe in Jesus. Now, it's a belief of the heart. Your head doesn't have to know everything about him, but your heart does. You say in your heart, I do believe in him. I believe he was real. I believe he died and rose again. I don't understand everything, but I believe. If you can say, I do believe in Jesus, then you have qualified for the first part to get into heaven. And the second thing is you need to ask him. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And so if you're here tonight with heads bowed and eyes closed and you want to receive Jesus for the very first time, is there anybody in here that's never done that? Don't let this night pass you by. Just lift your hand in the air if you want to receive the Lord for the first time. Anybody at all? Father, I'm not surprised by that, but if there's someone listening, and you're listening right now or in the future when this is archived, and you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just simply pray a prayer like this. When you stop listening to this, get on your knees and just say, Lord, I believe in you. I believe that you are real. I believe that you died and rose again. And Lord, I ask you to come into my heart. If you'll do that, he will. He'll save you. The Bible says God becomes a father to you. And we just ask that you either send me an email or call with the number that's on the website there, because I want to talk to you now about what's the next step for you. Because now you're heaven bound, but you're not going there maybe for many, many years. And there's a life to be lived, and God wants you to live that victoriously, and I can show you and help you to do that. So, Father, we just thank you tonight. Let's just worship him before we get into prayer tonight. Let's all worship him. I don't care what you feel like. I don't care what your flesh says. He's the King of Kings. He's worthy of your praise. He's worthy to be worshiped. We bless you, Lord, and we honor you, and we magnify you, and we praise you tonight. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Father, you are great and greatly to be praised. You are good, and your mercy endureth forever. Father, there is none like you. There is none as mighty, as powerful, as lovely, as wonderful, as kind, as patient, as merciful as you are, Father. We worship you. We exalt you tonight. Jesus, thank you for dying on that cross. Jesus, thank you for paying the price for us. Thank you for doing what you did. The name above all names, the King of Kings, Jesus, you are the Lord of Lords. And Holy Ghost, we worship you and thank you for your help. We thank you for your comfort. We thank you for your leading. We thank you for your guidance. Father, thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. We praise you tonight, Lord. And we magnify you. Now, Father, we're believing you for some things. Lord, according to Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 1, we pray that you would pour out your Spirit upon all flesh in Chautauqua and Cattaraugus County. Father, saturate every man, every woman, and every child, causing hearts to turn to you for the first time and hearts to turn back to you. Father, we claim and call hundreds out of darkness into light. We declare that hundreds of lives changed, destinies overturned in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it, Father. And you said in your word that you would confirm your word with signs following. Lord, it was the signs that brought people to you. It was the signs that brought people into the kingdom with the apostles. So, Lord, we thank you for signs, wonders, and miracles. Lord, tonight we come together and we ask you that you would stretch forth thy hand to heal, that signs, wonders, and miracles would be done in the name of your holy child, Jesus. So, Father, we thank you for an increase in the signs and the wonders and the miracles. And, Father, we know that the gifts of the Spirit are included in that outpouring. That's what you said through Peter in Acts chapter 2. So, Father, we thank you for the gifts of the Spirit. We crave the gifts of the Spirit. We crave, we covet the manifestation of the Spirit. For you said, when the Spirit manifests, people prosper. So, Lord, we thank you and declare that all nine gifts of the Spirit are in operation in full potential power, not just in this church, but in these walls, but in our individual lives. We thank you for the gifts of the Spirit that will cause people to come in, that will cause people to profit. So, Father, we thank you for it. We hunger for these things. And you said if we would hunger, Father, we'd be blessed. We'd be filled. So, Father, we thank you for it. And, Lord, we ask that you send forth laborers into the harvest fields of Chautauqua and Cattaraugus County. Father, send forth laborers to talk to people, even people in our own lives, Father, that won't listen to us. Send somebody that they'll listen to, Father. Send somebody that can make a difference, Father. We release the laborers in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you. All the money we need, it comes. We say we're fully funded, fully supplied. Satan, you keep your hands off our finances. Angels go forth and cause thousands of dollars above expenses to flood into this place and into Allegheny, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for increase. We will get this job done. Money will never be a problem. So, Father, we thank you for it. Now, Father, there's so many things with the plan of God, things that we might need to get into, things that we need to avoid, things that we need to look out for that are hidden from our vision, our sight, Father, and they're great and mighty things. But you said if we'd call unto you, you'd show us great and mighty things. You said if we pray in the Holy Ghost, we pray out mysteries. They're not mysteries to us, or mysteries to you, they're mysteries to us. So, Father, I thank you that the Holy Ghost helps us to pray. I thank you for the gift of the Holy Ghost to help us to pray for those things we don't know what to pray for. But I thank you that the Holy Ghost makes intercession for us. So right now, Father, we lift our voice. And we ask you, Holy Ghost, our helper, help us to pray the perfect will of God for the plan of God for this church, for the Allegheny Church that we're associated with. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Naubra nesenketo ramahayeto sogundroto shayeta maheto skoto vlendo bundorsa candelete scatrescoto yesa trato somburota casetreste tero lendo busodra navasateco nosoto vrata saketo vrana mamata. From this place, we're going to pray for 5 minutes from right now. And it might stretch some of you, but it's good to get a little stretching sometimes. Oh, pradeskete. Abra me doskondra daskatitiskato. Yeto funno moskotro tashkatra deskete lo mohota daskata. Vrendo no moska drandeskete toskotra mahaitosko. Vreto sodra nai deskendre toskotra da. Leto sombro monko trasketresa travete semble. Mabra taskotra da vasiki. Rete sento noskotra da sadra vaskatra. Mama mama ta. Of course, if you want to be filled, you just come forward. We'll lay hands on you. God will fill you. Mamra takato. Rataskete desketre metoskotra, nabra desketo dovosondro da kasete, leto mosokotra maskete deskotro, vranda masa de leto ngonoskotra da, yesabato, yesabato, yesabato nosot, lenesketo sotrandesketreso, lota si lota, yetramba, vranda mesotrongo toskotro, lametesketo tro, vranda masete deskotro skotrata fasitra, vlasi. Citra metrosco trandeskete ledo doscodrondo novo sotroma mapetesketo to opra mama ketesketro mosotrankata drenda vasco troto sogondra nasketeto madra maskete doscotroto scotra dada dredede 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 madra da ieto noscotra madasketeto yestranda 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 novo brama mama mataso ronda maska drama mama matesete ronda da sita da sata da scatratete no drama mama mamatete droma catesco troba da sikiti esto cotra nascatra late sendo nomoso tronda namahatade vrete seto un controma mascatra esto trobata satreto fratesco brotosco ieta sandra now now yestre metro intrusca yes in the kin in there yes and then into that yeah and in, going into that yeah. Mama sakete setre. Yeah, yeah, but power to go into that. Masakate setrebe. Into that new room. Into that new room. Masaketo soko trotata. Lade seketo toso troma maskatrate se. Yeah, and thank you for the help in that room. Thank you for the help in that room. That room, yeah, never been in that room. Thank you for the help. Thank you for the help. Thank you for the help in that room, for the direction, for the guidance, how to navigate that, Father. I thank you so much. Lord, that could be intimidating to the mind. That could be intimidating to the flesh. But I thank you for the guidance. I thank you for the leading. We thank you for it. Roma haitan te sete, leto mokuta sakanta satrape, yutanamai eto sokondra madeskoto, yetrebeteskotro bahail to skontro, lemada, lemata, lemadado, dramezegeto, dosotrota, dashkadrade, vrandamamba, do gonta da nashata yetaro bosokoto rambagata satreto doskotra remedesco donomota dalata dazeto vlendo monta mahata reske yesto kortata yesto noska yetanda natanda yetanda yes 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 that day doso droda yesterday nozadade zenguta lata 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 nasatro medrosko medrosko dratene Vranda meko tota skapreko ataska brama ketesketre lende mesko tropa paska trapa baska trapeta matra mama bama vama tasko trobosko matra mama maska traske tresko bonta lasketre lendo doskandra lendo doskondra data dradiska dradiso dodosha drandeskedro basota vradescendendo no mosko trapeta matra tasa brama mama taskate teskeplete lapese. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Tongues is for you. Tongues is for you. The devil's going to keep telling you that because that's your answer. That's your answer. Trying to keep you from it. Matre se godoska. Late zeto. Gadre zeta. Naska truska. Mate sete. Na presede. I don't know who that was for, but that was for somebody in here that's having that thought right now. Oh, brasikiti. Oh, brasikiti. Oh, brasikiti la songarata. Yes, aradoska naskate leskate. Vreda Let's stand to our feet. Let's worship Him together. Father, we praise You. We magnify You and we glorify You. We honor You. We thank You for, Lord, I don't know what we just prayed for, everything, but we made power. We thank You for it, Father. Your will be done in this place, in our lives, and in our church. And Father, we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you're dismissed, let me just quickly say thank you for praying for me. I believe you're going to do it. But then when we have corporate prayer, even if it starts at 5:30, so I can't be here at 5:30, if you can just come and pray for 5 minutes before the service, just come on in and we'll be praying. I'll probably start it out in English and we'll just pray in tongues. Just come in and start praying in tongues. Amen. Love you. Appreciate you. We'll see you Sunday. You're dismissed.